सभूयः पञ्चजन्यायाम् अजेन परिसान्वितः पुत्रान् अजन्यत् दक्षः सबलाश्वान् सहस्रिणः सभूयः पञ्चजन्यायाम् अजेन परिसान्वितः पुत्रान् अजन्ययत् दक्षः सबलाश्वान् सहस्रिणः सह प्रजापतिदक्ष भूयः अगेन पञ्चजन्यायाम् इन् द वूम् आफ् हिस् वैफ् असिक्नि और् पञ्चजनि अजेन वै लोर्ड् ब्रह्मा परिसान्वितः being pacified putran sons ajanyayat bigot dakshaha prajapati daksha sabalashvan named as sabalashvas sahasrinaha numbering 1000 Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. When Prajapati Daksha was lamenting for his lost children, Lord Brahma pacified him with instructions, and thereafter Daksha begot 1,000 more children in the womb of his wife, Panchajani. This time his sons were known as Sabalashvas. Purport. Prajapati Daksha was so named because he was very expert in begetting children. The word Daksha means expert. First, he begot 10,000 children in the womb of his wife, and when the children were lost, when they returned home back to Godhead, he begot another set of children known as Sabalashvas. Prajapati Daksha is very expert in begetting children, and Narada Muni is very expert in delivering all the conditioned souls back home, back to Godhead. Therefore, the materialistic experts do not agree with the spiritual expert Narada Muni, but this does not mean that Narada Muni will give up his engagement of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna. So, it's a very nice point mentioned here, and the point of what actually is the material engagement and what is our spiritual engagement. Now, people who are materialistic, who are interested in material engagement, will not agree with the people who are trying to now progress spiritually, and vice versa. Even Bhagavad Gita speaks that what is the night for introspective sage is the day for materialistic person, and the other way around. So it's just the opposite. So why is it? It's because as long as we are engaged in materialistic activities, then we cannot really hope much for progress in spiritual activities. Srila Prabhupada, also in Bhagavad Gita, forgot which verse, in the purport, he mentions that even devotees, they follow, well, there is certain sense gratification allowed, but under the rules and regulations. And especially, well, it meant for the Grihasthas. But Srila Prabhupada comments on that even so, even getting into being engaged in sense gratification even under the rules and regulations, it's danger. And not that the rules are bad, but the problem is that many times we become comfortable and start compromising here and there, and then we may not figure out when and where and how we actually broke the rule. So it's if we strictly follow, then no danger. But being engaged in any sense gratification just can make us a little bit too familiar, too comfortable, and then we may just fall for it, and that's wrong. So then Srila Prabhupada says in the same purport that better not to get into any kind of sense gratification. So what's the ultimate, or what actually determines whether we are getting into the sense gratification or not getting? Because we see, you go to some feast, and then now on the feast is served some wonderful prasad. So then devotees enjoy the prasad. You cannot say that it wasn't wonderful prasad. So it's also sense gratification. You are gratifying the tongue. But the point is that you are eating prasad. If you do the same thing somewhere in the restaurant where it's not prasad, then it's not as good. So whether we are being engaged in really sense gratification or not depends very much on the mentality, is the consciousness of the person. So if we practice Krishna consciousness, we practice to purify our consciousness, to become Krishna conscious, then where is the danger, or where is the possibility that we can get engaged into something which it's against that development? ultimately, Krishna consciousness means what? Krishna consciousness means that we want to do everything for Krishna. We want to please Krishna. Because we want to develop relationship with Krishna. That relationship we can understand through our spiritual master. So by the mercy of the spiritual master, through his eyes, Guru Chakshur, we can start to understand the Shastra, we can start to understand the Parampara, we can start to understand not through the Acharyas and actually who Krishna is and what is our relationship with them. Now if we get to that point that we start to understand something, even little, that little will keep us away from desiring sense gratification. Now it can happen. Somebody or anybody, by the influence of Maya, not being very careful, can fall for the trap of Maya, can fall for some nonsense. But Bhagavad Gita says, Haridas Thakur says, that if a devotee accidentally falls down and then he immediately takes up again the services, everything what he was doing, and it was just an accident, the devotee didn't do anything. For Krishna, there was no fault whatsoever. Now, but we may think, well, but he fell down, so he must be punished. We have to criticize him. We have to do so many things. On the other hand, for the people who think like this about that person, then Krishna says, such person is offender, he falls down. So not the person who accidentally fell down, but is the person who criticized that person. Which is very significant. How much prajalpa is going on here? How much we not dare to talk and criticize? It's a it's not good. We have to be very careful and we have to follow the advice of Rupa Goswami. We can develop to see good qualities on each other. We can develop that way the qualities of that person according to, well, how we associate. Two people can associate with the same person. And the person, now one person can get from him all the bad qualities. Another person, all the good qualities. He may be a thief, but he may be good at something else. He may be a good father, but he may be a thief. If somebody comes with the idea, I want to know how to be a thief, he may instruct him, and he will get from him all the bad he has. Somebody else may come and ask the same person, I want to know how to be a good father. And he will get all the good what he has. I mean, nobody has only bad qualities. And everybody has some bad qualities. So there is always mix of good and bad until we are in this material body, identifying with the material world. And now, so when we stop that, that's up to us. It's up to our consciousness, our decision to decide now when we want to give that up and surrender to the Lord. So we can do that, but we can do that only in association of devotees. Sadhu Sangha. But again, Sadhu Sangha means what? We are associating with devotees and talking Krishna Katha. So, be very careful, I mean, we all have to be very careful not to ever criticize anybody. I mean, yeah, full stop. We may have a duty. A father, he must see some bad qualities of his son, right? He does something wrong, he must punish him. You can't avoid that. If you are a manager, somebody does something wrong, you have to see that, you have to recognize it, you have to discriminate, you have to punish the person. You cannot let it go. But if you don't have any relationship with the person, you don't have influence, you don't have any power over the person, then what can you do? All you can do maybe to tell someone who has either influence or power, and then tell the person something, influence the person. But if you cannot do that, just gossiping around will not help. So now we see here, Daksha, he is upset because Narada Muni not delivered his sons, as this is like not the goal of every father, right? Well, Daksha felt, I am the expert in creating children, so then I'm supposed to populate the universe. So I'm supposed to create the conditioned souls. But now somebody else just purifies them and sends them away. He didn't like it. But okay, then it was the Lord Brahma, his father, then he pacifies him. And it was your brother, just don't be too upset at him. He meant it good. But still, he felt my duty is to make the progeny, to create the sons, right? But now, as we will learn, as they go, Narada Muni will also deliver them. And he will create offenses because he is not purified. He is a conditioned soul, though very great. Nonetheless, still conditioned. If we see the activities of a devotee through our conditioned nature, we will be agitated. We will feel that something is wrong. Why is he doing like this? He should be doing like that. But we should restrict ourselves from doing that. It's not good. In fact, we should understand that anybody who comes to the Holy Dham, anybody who comes to Mayapur, is a special soul. So now we should see and associate with each and every living entity try to see that as a special soul. But of course, you have animals, you have jackals, you have dogs. So you don't start to invite them for the feast. You don't even invite them to the temple. There's a nature of animal, okay, but we don't have to offend them. Don't forget the dog which came to complain to Ramachandra. There was one dog. He was just lying on the street and fall asleep. And then there were brahmanas coming and chanting mantras. But there is a dog. They cannot go there because the dog is sleeping. So what to do? They tried to call the dog and then dog didn't wake up. So then one of the brahmanas comes and kicks him off the road. The dog screams and okay, goes. And then the brahmanas then continue going. Then the dog, it was a special dog. It was during Satya Yuga. So he came to Lord Ramachandra. And you know, their kings, they have special entry that anybody can come. Generally it's people, but okay, this time the dog came through that entry. And the king, he is obliged to come and, you know, listen. But who is going to listen, right, to a dog? But the dog was speaking. So then the dog complained. My dear king, there was a brahmana. I was sleeping on the road and the brahmana kicked me. He had no reason for that. I didn't do anything to him. So then Lord Ramachandra was, he said, wow, what is this? This is a sin, sinful activity in my kingdom. I cannot tolerate this. But okay, since you are so smart, what punishment would you give to that brahmana? And the dog, he said, okay, since you ask, then there is one monastery up in the hills. And there is no really leader. And the monks, well, they need a leader. Put the brahmana as the leader of the monastery. And what? I asked for punishment, but you are giving him like reward. I mean, it's... Is it? Well, so yeah, please explain. Why would you do that? He said, well, these monks are not very well-behaved monks. So they are very offensive to each other. That's why they have no leader. They chased away the leader. There is nobody leader. So the brahmana goes there, and then he will get into a very offensive mood. Plus, that he is the leader of the monks, he is automatically taking 1/6 of their sinful activities. And for that, he will be suffering a lot. The Ramachandra, okay. So, we have to be very careful and conscious how we deal. Another instance, Manduka Muni, when he was, well, long story actually, it's many, many parts, but one part is, king's soldiers, they mistaken him for a thief, and they put him to death. Unfortunately, he was meditating, so now he didn't wake up. So they put him on a stick, on a stake, next to the road. He was still in meditation. So then, at that time, there was one leper who was going to a prostitute. The prostitute, his wife arranged, because he wanted, and she was actually a very chaste wife. She said, okay, no, he wants, I arrange. So then they were going. Leper, he stinks a lot. The meat is actually, you know, rotting. So when they were passing by, then Manduka Muni woke up. He saw himself on a stake, and he said, then who caused this, who caused me to wake up like this, then he will never see another sunrise. And the wife, she heard that my husband, no, he is going to die. So she said, okay, the sun will not rise. All right, they went, saw the prostitute. Prostitute said to that man, you are an idiot. You have such a wonderful wife. Go back home and then don't complain. So he understood. They went home. Then after that morning, no sun. And what's going on? And then soon after Brahma comes, and please, can you take the curse back? No, he said, no, I cannot. If I do, then my husband will die. What kind of wife am I? And he said, all right, look, take the curse back, then he will die. And after that, I will, no, for my kamandalu, I will sprinkle both of you, or you will all become, no, both you become a young couple again. She said, all right. So then she took the curse back, and the sun came up. husband died, Brahma then sprinkled him and her, and again they were, the young couple. She is one of the most chaste wives in the universe. That's why she has the power over anything, any effort in the universe. Even the sun cannot actually raise when she says so. Now, Manduka Muni, he was on the stake. And then he meditated and he tried to figure out, why am I on the stake? I'm a Muni. I'm a sadhu. I didn't do anything wrong. What did I do? And then in meditation he understood that, okay, Maharaj, he put me here. And okay, then he goes to Yamaraj and said, why did you do this? What did I do? And he said, when you were a young boy, then you used to take a thorn and you put the thorn through a bug. Now you got the same? So he said, but I was a small boy. I was not responsible for, well, but no. It's your karma, you got it. So, and then he cursed Yamaraj to become a Shudra. And he came as a Vidura. So, we have to be very careful what we do, our activities. And this is just not talking about, harming some bug. And maybe not even at Holy Dham, I don't know where was it. No, Jada Bharat. He would walk and kind of like be very careful not to step him on one end. So we have to be conscious not to harm any living entity. And then what to speak about devotees? We may feel we are right. Daksha feels he is right. But it doesn't give him any right to offend a devotee. Sometimes, now we may feel, well, it's unjust. Look, he's doing this and he's not being punished. I have to make sure that he gets punished. Write emails, now put it on internet, and then now just make a big hoopla out of it. But what for? Who benefits? So we have to be conscious. We are responsible. We cannot say, oh, he told me to do it. So what? Then you are foolish not to do it. You cannot tell Krishna, hey, no, Krishna, look, actually, I wanted to be really good. I wanted to do devotional service, but no, the people around me, they just told me, no, you should enjoy this, you should enjoy that. Well, you are foolish. Go and take another birth. You cannot blame anyone, no, for your failure. It's our responsibility. We are responsible for ourselves. So, we should be conscious. So, harming any living entity creates bad reactions. And harming living entities in the Dham, it's even worse. And what to speak about devotees in that harm? And, well, we should take good example from this. We should take good example how to deal with somebody whom we see that created some offense. How to deal with that and make sure that such a person then gets corrected. Such a person then understands that, okay, I made something wrong. What to do so it will not happen again? We cannot be sentimental and say, all right, anyway. We have to see that the devotee actually is sincere and we have to help him. Well, have to. We don't have to. We should want. We should want to help him to again become very serious devotee. Of course, if somebody doesn't want, or somebody does something wrong, and then say, anyway, it's all right, I'll just chant some Hare Krishna and then it will be gone. He's an avaparadi. And if somebody creates even philosophy out of it, it's okay. Actually, I can find in Prabhupada's book, it's not so bad. We can do also that. Following three and a half principle, or three, or two, at least one, and it's all right. Because the process of devotional service, you can do all, or at least eight, or at least even one. If you do, then you get the full benefit. We can argue like that if you want to, but who benefits? Nobody does. It's bogus. Make philosophy, then it's much worse. We should just humbly take it. Yes, I did something wrong. And then because of that, now I'm going to suffer the reaction. And what is it going to be? Okay, never do it again. So that's something which if we get into, we will very much benefit ourselves. We should not follow the example of Daksha. But association of devotees, that's what we need to focus on. And the good part is that the devotees are always very forgiving. They don't get really offended. But we should be very careful nonetheless. Remember the story when the Buddhist that got punished by the followers of Lord Chaitanya. Even though, they were not considered as offenders by one, but somebody else just takes the action. And that's not wrong. So, we should be very eager to receive such devotees. We should be very eager to associate, because devotees as Narada Muni, they are very rare. So when a serious and sincere devotee gives some instruction, we should take it very seriously. It's like Dhruva Maharaj, he very seriously took instruction of Narada Muni, because he saw that he's going to achieve his goal, which he did. And because he was so serious, in 6 months he actually achieved perfection when he was 5 years old. That sincere he was. So if we open more our ears and listen to what we are supposed to do and try to apply it in our lives, then we can achieve perfection. In another place in Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada says that perfect knowledge is realization. So just knowing something, knowing that, I'm supposed to do this, but I don't want to. Realization means practically applying that knowledge. So you live it. You do it. That way, then you can actually talk about that you have realized something, becomes your value. Something which you do no matter what, where, how. Somebody is looking or not. Just you get up in the morning. If you have to get up in the morning because somebody is forcing you, when you have opportunity, you sleep in, no problem. When you wake up in the morning because you want to, who can stop you? That's the bottom line. So same thing with Krishna consciousness. If you want to develop Krishna consciousness, who can stop you? Nobody can. But if you don't want to, who can make you Krishna conscious? And it's Krishna consciousness, not Krishna activity. So it very much depends on the consciousness of an individual devotee. Somebody now may be looking like a gross materialist, right? Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Even Gadara Pandit was bewildered. He said, what? How is this gross materialist who is sitting there on the throne and enjoying the fanning of his servants, how can he be a great devotee? And he didn't speak it, he thought. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood. He spoke one verse from Bhagavatam, 10th canto, and then Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he immediately got into ecstasy and rolling on the ground in his expensive clothes and everything, not considering anything. Then he understood what offense he did. I mean, he's a Vrishabhanu Maharaj, so. But anyway, it's the consciousness of the person which matters. Somebody may pretend to be a great devotee by wearing dhoti, chadar, chanting, whatever, but what's inside? It matters. So we should all try to encourage each other that we should be thinking of Krishna, thinking of Krishna conscious activities, do everything for so then the consciousness develops that way. That's why the association is so important. That's why Srila Prabhupada established the society, ISKCON. Srila Prabhupada mentions in Bhagavatam that our society is the incarnation of the holy name. So if we all associate in good terms, trying to see good qualities in each other, and if we see some not good quality, help each other to overcome that rather than just point it out and criticize. That way we can progress really fast. Hare Krishna. Any questions?
Hare Krishna. Guruji, as you told that one Brahmin or Muni, he was pinching a bug and he get reaction, punished by Yamaraj. So also in day-to-day life, we see that when we are walking, we step over ants and other small living being, and unknowingly we kill them or harm them. So we are also getting reaction, we will get reaction for that. So how we can be, cautious, how we can save ourselves from that type of actions?
It depends on the consciousness. Other question, okay. Manduka Muni, he was poking the bug and then he got the reaction. Now we are walking and we do step on bugs and ants, and unconsciously we kill many while walking. So do we also get the reaction? So it depends on the consciousness. If you are going and you step, there's a bug and kill it, you do get the reaction because the mentality is such that you like others to suffer. But if you have to walk, you have some service, and then you have to run, you cannot look. If you accidentally kill some bugs, you don't get the reaction.
But as you told that Muni, he was not conscious. because he was a small child and he was doing, he got the reaction.
Right.
So if unknowingly we are doing, still we will get some reaction. I think that.
Look, first of all, this, the whole story, that was only a very small part of the whole story, how it happened. But it was, the whole thing was made to show many things. There was the chastity of the woman, the power of the chastity. There was a way how Vidura appears in Krishna Lila. So the whole thing was prearranged. But from there we have to learn. We have to learn that we have to be careful. If you are already thinking, okay, if I kill accidentally, then nothing happens. And if it's not an accident, then something will happen. So now, okay, how much is accident, how much not? Okay, if I walk, and then I can move, but I don't want to move, and then accidentally kill the bug, do I get the reaction or not? You will get some reaction, because you could have moved, but you didn't want to. And because you didn't want to, you killed the bug. So if you are conscious of, that some entity, living entity is there, and you purposefully step there, or you don't prevent, you will get some reaction, because that's the mentality of being materialistic, trying to enjoy, trying to be in control. That mentality has to be, removed. But at the same time, see, like Mrigari, the hunter, he had very, sick mentality. He would kill animals, but only half kill. And he let them die, suffering. Narada Muni, he saw it and he said, wow, you are going to suffer a lot. Okay, I'll try to help you. So he went and preached to him. Why are you doing it? Well, I have to feed my family. But you are going to take a lot of karma for this. Do you know that? Well, but we will all share. Now, what to do? Do you think that your family will share with you? No, you will take the karma yourself. No. Okay, go to your house and ask. Ask your wife, ask your children. Are they ready to share the karma for your killing with you? So he went. Are we crazy? It's your duty to feed us. How if he does, that doesn't matter. It's your responsibility. I'm not sharing anything with you. No, you bring something to eat, but how you get it, that's not my business. He understood. And then he gave up immediately. And he was the most peaceful. And then he wrote Ramayana. So, it's possible, but depends on the mentality. So if you are conscious, you don't want to harm, you will make sure that you don't. And if you are unaware of it, then you will not get the reaction for it because you didn't do anything wrong. The story of Angulimala also shows how the reaction can be immediately removed. He was a boy in Gurukul, and he was very close with his teacher. Right? And now the teacher was living with his wife, and there were a few disciples there living. It was in the forest. So, and then they would discuss a lot of topics, and very close, like a family. Now, the other students, they were very envious. How come he is not so close and we are not? Okay, let's do something. And they worked on to poison the mind of the teacher. So he said, teacher, we need to speak with you. When the boy actually, when you go out, then he is there talking with your wife and who knows what they are doing. Wow. Are you sure? Yes. Yeah. Try, you see. So then one day he left. And then he came back very carefully and then he looked through the window. And yeah, he saw, no, the student being there, and then he was just talking and, no, joking with the wife. It was the same as any other time. So he didn't do anything wrong, actually. But as a brahmachari, yes, then he didn't behave properly. The teacher got so upset, he chased him away. Chased him away means what? The society rejected him. He could not go home, he could not go anywhere. Everybody would close door in front of him. So then he said, well, I didn't do anything wrong, and the society is like this on me. Okay, I'll take revenge. And he became a dacoit, a good one. And then he would kill people, take money, and cut little finger and make a mala of it. The king was really trying to get him. He could not. The soldiers could not get him. Nobody could. He was so smart. Once there was Buddha walking, and he saw opportunity. Okay, let's kill him. He looks very rich. So he was running after him, but he was running full speed. And he was always, no, same distance. He could not get closer. What is this? That's not normal. He threw it down, and then he just paid obeisance. No, dear sir, I'm just surrendering. Buddha took him to his monastery. And then he engaged him now in services there. So he was not anymore harmful. Now the king, who wanted to kill him, he wanted his head, he wanted to now punish him. He came to know that he is there in the monastery. So then he sent soldiers. Hey, you go and see, and then now according to what's happening, you bring him back. So they went there. They came, they saw the monastery, they saw him engaged in the service, he was rectified. They said, okay, he can continue. We have nothing against him anymore. That's law. Once seen that your sins, not the sin itself, but the mentality to commit the sin, it's corrected. There is no need for karma. But as long as there is a desire to commit the sin again, you need karma. Until you figure this out. So devotional service can immediately remove not only all the karma, but also the desires, the anarthas, the seeds of desire. But if you don't want that, if you want to continue in that, then you can still do it wearing devotional clothes. But that makes materialist not really a devotee. It's a mix.
And one other, that about the duplicitous mentality, because when we do devotional service, sometimes devotee appreciate us for our doing well in devotional service. But inside we are thinking that becoming proud and whatever this shortcomings like that, I'm the good devotees. The thoughts come, the duplicitous mentality. The cheating propensity, you can really say it like that. So how we can get rid of it? Because if we are getting appreciation, the false ego always hits you that you are good, and in that case, that there is a lot of chance to become offensive to other devotees.
The false, so, what's the question? If we are being...
We are getting appreciation to other from other devotees, then we get the false ego, and the false ego hits us. And we may become offensive to other devotees. So how we can get rid? Because when we get appreciation, we think I am advanced, really advanced. Because even it happens to newcomer, is a few years in Krishna consciousness.
The only way is just to chant the holy name. So if you feel that you are becoming proud because others are now glorifying you, then taking shelter of the holy name and then figuring out kind of like how to become humble. That's, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talks in Shikshastakam, Trinalapi Sunichana, Tarurapi Sahishana, Amanina Manadina, Kirtaniya Sadahari. So to chant the holy name, one has to be humble, meek, surrendered, and don't expect anything, but give respect to all. So when that's not there, then the Shudanam, no, it will not be there. But as long as we at least don't have the mentality that we want to offend, then even the Namabhas will purify us. So still chanting of the holy name is the only way. So that it's a mentality that we try to, okay, somebody says we did something good, and then, oh yeah, see, I'm special. No, pride. We have to conquer that, you know, by being humble. Try to serve the devotees. But chanting of the holy name, no, is the only way. Yes? Yes.
Hare Krishna. My prayer usually is, may I not be involved or take part in any offense. That's my prayer to the Lord. But I feel it can be a little bit difficult, because if you have friends, they can come to you, open their heart and say, oh, this person is an idiot because this and this happened. And then I'm like in a dilemma. Okay, I will be maybe part of an offense, or maybe it's right what they're saying. And also because it's my friend, I have to accommodate that person because the person is upset. So I think it's a little bit difficult to somehow, you know, not be involved in any offense. Or maybe it's not an offense, maybe the person is right. So I'm like a little bit confused what to do in such situations.
Okay, so the question is, what in a situation, somebody comes as a friend and then he starts to talk about
criticizing by
somebody or criticizing, yeah, what you should do. Yeah. Well, then first of all, then you should try to actually figure out what the facts are. Because when somebody comes like that, generally it's very emotional. That means he's unable to speak really the facts. He feels offended. But generally it's not the fact. Okay, so what happened? Then, okay, that happened. Now, can you do something about it? If you can do something about it, then, okay, it has some meaning to talk about, to figure out what to do about it. But is that something you heard, and then you feel kind of like it's a, you know, great topic for a gossip, that's why you are coming? Then I'm not interested. Now, if there is something can be done, then it's very important then to figure out then what it can be done. Maybe it was not really his fault, maybe it was your fault. Could be. Find the facts. And once you figure out what it is, then it should be the person should go to the other one. Whether, okay, Prabhu, no, I felt offended because of, and then work it out. Or, I feel I offended you. Please forgive me. In any case, to work it out. So, if your talk is constructive and then you can actually convince him to work it out, then it's good to talk. But if it doesn't go anywhere, and you are just supposed to listen to kind of like what he's saying, just say, I'm not interested. I cannot help. Please, let's talk about something else. I try to help, but no, you are not listening to me. You are not going to do what I'm telling you. So please, let's talk about something else. It's not going to go anywhere. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, no, Rupa Goswami speaks. If you cannot convince the person, then go away. And if you hear criticism of a devotee, just jump into Ganga with your clothes and take bath. Go away. And if you cannot do it, then just give up your life. So actually so serious it is. So if we can work it out, convince the devotee, find out what it is, we should do that. But if not, we should not be there. We should not encourage the talk.
Often I feel it's the devotee is actually not offensive, but more like concerned that things should be done in the right way.
Okay, so if you are the authority who can do something about it, then it's all right. But if you are not, you should encourage him, go to somebody who can do something about it. My mind will be disturbed. If I hear everybody's no activities, good, okay, bad, I don't want to hear. I know in Mayapur so many sinful activities are going on. And if everybody wants to hear everything, how is that going to help in devotional service? No way. So it's better to stay away. Who wants to know that on that building, on the roof, two young couple have a sex?
Oh.
What? Who? When? How? I also want. What's the nonsense? What? We don't need to know that. Who cares about that? But we have to prevent that things like that don't happen. Now, if you are a person who is responsible for that, it doesn't happen, you should know that. And you should do something about it so it doesn't happen again. That's your responsibility. And if it's your kid, then you should be very concerned, right? So that's what it is. But if you have nothing to do about it, you cannot do anything about it, why to get into it? Just to say, I know, I heard, do you know, I heard this, it was like this. I came to know first. No, that's not devotion at all. Yeah? Hare Krishna. Okay, we'll end here. Granth Rajshimad Bhagavatam ki, Shri Prabhupada ki, Jai Nitai Gaur Pramananda.